from KQED.
The Carmel River flows into the Pacific on a beach just south of the Monterey Peninsula, where figures in straw hats haul out easels and paints to capture the picturesque landscape. Jason Burnett, in designer sunglasses and a crisp blue shirt, plucks a ladybug from the sand.
It's crawling around on me, and we've become friends, so.
Burnett is the mayor of Carmel. For decades, his town has relied on this river for drinking water, but that's about to change. Soon, towns around the Monterey Peninsula will depend on the ocean. Similar projects are underway down the coast. In Carlsbad, what will be the nation's largest desalination plant is nearly ready. For about $1 billion, it will provide 7% of San Diego County's water. Meanwhile, a plant that sat idle for a generation could soon slake 30% of Santa Barbara's demand for water. That would seem to put Carmel on the cutting edge, but Burnett is hardly an evangelist.
I'll say at the outset, I am not a fan of desal generally.
Besides being expensive, desal is hard to do in an environmentally friendly way. For Burnett, that's awkward. His parents are marine biologists, and his grandfather, David Packard's Silicon Valley fortune, laid the foundation for the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Burnett himself used to work on climate rules for the EPA.
So here I am, advocating a project that has a large carbon footprint and, if not done correctly, can hurt the oceans.
For one thing, it's hard to pipe in tons of ocean water without harming sea life. Tiny fish eggs and larvae slip through even fine screens and die in the desal process. So instead of an open straw, the intake a few miles up the coast near the town of Marina will pull in water from under the seafloor.
If you look through the dunes, you see the top of the crane.
Gotcha.
So that's where the test well is being launched.
Rich Svenland is an engineer for California American Water, the area's for-profit water company. Similar to directional drilling for fossil fuels, CalAm hopes to suck in a couple thousand gallons of ocean water per minute from more than 200 feet below the waves and the sand. Offshore groundwater, essentially. The plant won't come online until 2019, only after negotiating a thicket of regulatory approvals. When it's built, Svenland says it'll take a lot of power to pump all that water, first to the plant, then through membranes that are so fine, salt can't get through.
Our energy bill is going up, there's no question of that.
Svenland's company says the average water customer can expect bills to climb 20%, from $88 a month now up to $106. Of the water drawn into a typical desal plant, only about half is made drinkable. All the leftover salt is packed into the other half in a kind of brine more dense than seawater. It has to be mixed back into the ocean carefully, sprayed, diluted, so it doesn't just sink down and kill sea life.
When that brine goes and hits the bottom, all the marine life on the bottom, it can't move, right? It's kind of stuck there. They can't get out of the way.
CalAm plans to share the wastewater outlet used by a nearby sewage plant to disperse the brine thousands of feet out to sea. With all these complications, critics argue that desal is often more trouble than it's worth, particularly when it's to deal with a drought and that drought ends. Felicia Marcus heads the State Water Resources Control Board.
In Australia, they built a fleet of desalination facilities, most of which have never been operated and which their ratepayers are paying through the nose for right now.
There are those who argue an idle desal plant is still good insurance, just in case. In the early 90s, just up the coast from Carmel, the Marina Coast Water District built this tiny plant, about the size and rusty hue of an abandoned beachside gas station. It made enough water for 1,200 homes and burned through $25,000 worth of electricity per month until cheaper alternatives sidelined it.
The bigger concern is, what if there are no alternatives?
Scott Maloney is vice president of Poseidon Water, the company building San Diego's huge plant in Carlsbad and hoping to add another like it in Huntington Beach. He says, sure, right now there are other options, but...
I think the larger concern is climate change and what happens 10 years and 20 years from now. Can we really count on the Colorado River or Northern California to continue to supply the vast majority of the state's population with water?
Therein lies the problem.
Environmentalist Susan Jordan with the California Coastal Protection Network says this is the real tension over desal. Will it be used to hedge against the prospect of a mega drought in coming decades, or just encourage more growth?
If you're going to do something like desal, you want to make sure that you're doing everything you can in terms of conservation, water recycling, water reuse, and you don't want to fuel unsustainable development that just perpetuates your problem or the state's problem.
Back in Carmel, Burnett says desal is a last resort. A cease and desist order to protect the Carmel River is forcing the surrounding towns to get water somewhere else, and soon. Residents have already wrung out the wet sponge of conservation, getting by on around 60 gallons a day.
We've explored a wide range of options. Everything was on the table. Harnessing icebergs and bringing them down, filling up huge balloons of water from up north and bringing them down.
In the end, he says desal proved slightly more practical here. But experts are still unsure what role it will play in California's broader future. In Carmel, I'm Daniel Potter, KQED News.